That's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell, our second week of residency at the Hooters Mall of Georgia, the Taj Mahal. We start every hour of every show with a big old, hey, man. That's Chris Turtle Thomas doing the hey, man, because our boy Carl is a little under the weather today. Hopefully we'll get Carl back in the game, but he's on IL at least today. So, Chris, you were at practice today, and I can tell you, pads were popping.
Yes, they were, and to the point, Mike Bell, where we got a little skirmish, a little scuffle.
Oh, you're so young. You're so young in this game, Carver. You haven't seen a skirmish. That was nothing, man. That was just two guys shoving a little bit. A little bit of shoving.
We'll say this, though. Raheem Morris, not a fan of it. He addressed the situation instantaneously.
He shut it down.
He shut it down really, really quick. And it was our boy, Matt Bergeron, trying to get in the mix a little bit.
Now, I like Bergeron because, like our buddy Smoking Joe Patrick, he likes to start trouble.
Yes, he does.
And he definitely gets in the mix. So that was one of the storylines that we saw today. So we had – and by the way, who was he scrapping with? It was Bergeron and who?
It was a like a backup tight end or something like that. It wasn't anybody of note.
Yeah. No, well, I saw that D-Led had it. It was Milo Eifler.
Yeah.
So if you had Milo Eifler on your first scrum at Falcons practice, you won the kitty today.
Trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah, man. But it was a lot of fun. D-Led's like, oh, that's scrap. And I go, ah, D, that's not really a scrap. We've seen him scrap. Usually for the guys who watch practice, it's by the third week before, as they're really like ramping up, getting ready to go. In the old days, before you finally get to that first week of preseason, because you're sick and tired of, you know, hitting the same guys.
Yep.
This will be Skirmish City down in Miami. We had some scraps with Miami last time we were down there because tempers start flaring. But it's good to see, man. Get the competitive juices. Today was kind of cool. My buddy, Fireman Ken, who's out of the country right now, goes, how they look, Mike? He had season tickets forever down there in 124 at Georgia Dome. And I said, offense look good at times and defense look good at times. We saw Michael Penix using his cadence to draw guys off sides. Michael Penix, the ball just comes out faster. Guys, this isn't an indictment of Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is much older than Penix, and Cousins is still coming off an Achilles. And I think at some point you'll see the zip. But Penix's ball, it just looks markedly faster. No other way to describe it.
Yeah, he's got a cannon attached to that left shoulder of his. A couple of stats, news and notes for you from our good buddy Mark Ramondi of ESPN. Cousins was 8 of 11 passing with tight end Charlie Warner, his most frequent target, 3 catches in those 11 on 11s. And then Penix was 6 of 10, as you just mentioned, and he found Kadarius Hodge, who always seems to make a big play every now and then for the Falcons.
Right, streaking down the sideline, make a couple guys miss. They also missing was Kirk Cousins on a pass where Jesse Bates steps right up and takes it, and may or may not have been a pick six, depending on how, you know, it's difficult to gauge. You're not going to kill one of your best defensive players coming back. But Jesse Bates either jumped a route. I asked Arch, I go, zigzag, miscommunication. Arch's like, Marr. Arch was, he wasn't giving me anything today. So anyway, I don't know whose fault it was. It's never the quarterback's fault. It looked like it was Cousins' fault. But either way, a really spirited practice today. And we saw guys getting after it, man. I love the size element. We talked about Zach Harrison the other day. He was looking good. Rook, out there. I mean, guys, you just the first thing you notice, I think, Chris, especially on the defensive line / linebackers, is just the size element.
And that was the plan in the draft, right? They talked about length. They talked about developmental skills. These guys that you mentioned, Rook, Braylon Trice, who we spoke to the other day, Brandon Dorlus, all these guys, Mike, they're going to have to play a role because it's going to be a by-committee situation going down, because there is not, as we know, as we've talked about ad nauseum on this team, a T.J. Watt or a Myles Garrett. So all of these guys are going to have to contribute.
Yeah, man, I thought it was a lot of fun today watching some of the younger guys doing their thing. We got a lot of speed. We got a lot of, you know, playmaking ability at wide receiver. Drake London with a couple of nifty grabs, but he does that. I mean, we could say that about every practice. I mean, he goes up the ladder and makes some tough catches. which is Bijan. Now, again, because it is, you know, it's offense, defense, and you don't know if, you know, for instance, there's some plays where Kirk Cousins or Pettis would have gotten sacked, but they let the play continue. But I can tell you this, if this was a real NFL game, our boy, and I thought he looked great. I thought Bijan Robinson would have had a couple of touchdowns. He looked great today.
He looked absolutely awesome today. He had, I think, 7 carries.
Right.
Algier had 4, so they split the reps fairly equally, which I think is a good thing to see because, Mike, I know I've been banging the table on this. I want Algier back as a main contributor in this offense. That dude is a stud, and he can really be a major help for the Falcons and allow Bijan Robinson to get a breather every once in a while. Listen, I know the offense is going to run through him, and I think that that's fine. But Tyler Algier is a guy that could score a lot of touchdowns for you and be a great change of pace back.
He's a 1,000-yard rusher. I mean, and that was one of the questions. Zach Robinson was in front of the media today after practice, and a couple of guys asked. I think it was Joe Patrick that asked the question about Tyler Algier. And he says there's certainly a large role for him in this offense. And they're going to, as you said, the hard part for the offensive coordinator, and I think old Falcon fans, well, older than 5 or 6 years, will remember how great Kyle Shanahan was at going with the hot hand. Whether it was going to be Freeman or Coleman, he always seemed to find the right way to find the balance there. And that's something Zach Robinson is going to have to do in his first year as an offensive coordinator. But game recognizes game. He realized that Algier still has some real big pop and he can move it. I just read from D-Led, by the way, from his notes, that Darnell Mooney came over after the replay board and said, that's on me, on the Jesse Bates pick. So, again, as Arch did kind of mumble. So, again, maybe it wasn't the quarterback's fault on that one. We'll be talking all about the Falcons. Arthur Blank spoke to the media. We'll tell you what he had to say, including a message to the fans. And we also had Raheem Morris, Coach Rod, doing his best not to give you anything earlier today before practice began. But we'll be back tomorrow, guys, for another day of full pads. And we'll be right back here at Hooters Mall of Georgia. Today is the trade deadline for Major League Baseball. And we went back to 2021.
Oof.
Okay, Jorge Soler. This time, though, Jorge Soler is expensive. I mean, he's not cheap.
No.
And it's not, you know, ridiculously expensive, but it's more money than I thought we'd actually spend. Talk about what we just did with the Giants.
Yeah, so Jorge Soler is coming back over, Mike, and he just signed a 3-year deal. So he's got 2 years left on that contract, and with the way that the ultimate financials worked out, our good buddy Bob Nightingale put out an article that says final tab for the Braves is going to be 13 next year and 13 the year after that.
Right, and you get the option to sort of cut you off. You have the option, which they're going to pick up certainly from Marcelo Ozuna, because Marcelo Ozuna is MVP caliber year this year. He doesn't play the field. Well, neither really does Soler.
Not much, no.
He's kind of what they call a butcher. Chris was joking around before the show here today at Hooters, and he said, you realize, depending on lefty-righty, we could actually have Soler, Rosario, and Duvall as your starting outfield.
Yeah, what's old is new.
Because Michael Harris, again, you guys want to argue about Michael Harris. Okay, it's tomorrow's August 1st. When's Michael Harris going to be out there? Or is it about 2 more days? When's we got 3 more weeks? 3-4 weeks?
I don't know.
Everybody was trying to get cute. Well, you guys are making a big deal out of nothing. No, they went retroactive. It wasn't just a roster move. Harris isn't ready.
He had a setback.
It's a torn muscle. The muscle's the hamstring. It takes a while. I'm not trying to just chirp and be mean-spirited about Harris. But he needs to get out there. And not only he needs to get out there, he needs to get out there and be better than he was before he got injured, Chris.
Well, that's the entire thing, right? Because what's the theme of this year been for the Braves this season? Not playing up to the back of your dang baseball card.
Right.
Although we have seen, Mike, from the game last night, Arcia looks like he's starting to heat up a little bit. Olsen looks like he's starting to heat up a little bit. And the same thing for Austin Riley. So that's why I thought it was imperative for Alex to at least do something. Because if you get Max Fried back, which you should soon, you're getting Reynaldo Lopez back. He's not looking to miss any time. So you got your 3 frontline starters back in the queue, and then you get Michael Harris back, and you're still in the first spot in the wild card, Mike, despite the loss last night.
That's the thing. I know a lot of Braves fans, because the song goes, you guys are too mean. You're being too mean. Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm just trying to be real. I'm just trying to keep it real with you. There's some things that I think you like. You love what you're getting from Chris Sale. You like what you're getting from Reynaldo Lopez. A little bit of a oop moment after we find out that injury is not an injury after all. Fried gave you his wobble. Hopefully he'll be right back on it. You saw, other guys stepping up last night. Grant Holmes, Kenny Powers did a hell of a job.
It's great.
They squandered a great effort from Kenny Powers. Hey, man. Kenny Powers, if you didn't see the movie, Eastbound and Down, the old show on HBO. But he did only give up one mistake to Rhys Hopkins. Only gave up one run. And then, I know that they love Chavez, and he's everybody's old favorite uncle. He was hot garbage last night. Chavez didn't have anything going. That's what I always wonder, how he defies the odds of, physics to keep that 89-mile-an-hour stuff out of the zone. Age and guile.
Low leverage.
But last night, that wasn't the case. So, It looked like it was going to be a nice low-scoring win, and then the Brewers just blow it wide open very quietly while all the focus is on the Phillies. The Brewers are one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, they're 15, now 16 games over 500, and I don't know how they've done it because, quite frankly, I think our old friend William Contreras is their only good hitter on the entire team, except right. last night they were able to break out. But at the same time, I believe, Mike, Bryce Elder is getting the start tonight.
Yeah, Bryce Elder, who has not gotten better since coming back to the bigs. You know, he had a nice little showing early on, and then he kind of resorted back to the second half of last season, Bryce Elder, which is not going to help. But this is where we are until we know that. When is Max coming back?
I think as early as Friday is when he can be activated. So
right.
hopefully we get to see him this weekend, if not sooner.
I thought it was, a fun early part of the game to see Grant Holmes really looking good. And you know, I like what Chris Sales said. This guy's got major league stuff, major league hair. And last night, if you didn't see it, man, holy cow, Marcell Ozuna. I agree with, I think it was CJ Nikowski last night on the broadcast. That's no way that's just 450. That looked like it was a 500-foot home run last night. Soler puts it off the glass facade at Miller Park last night.
Okay, so got some numbers.
Look at the numbers.
Not great. Jorge Soler has played in 92 games this season, and all 92 have been at DH.
Yeah, he's going to have to play the outfield. And Ron Washington isn't here to help him.
No. And the last time he played right field was in 2023, and that was in 30 games out of 132.
So this is kind of be like Scott Hattieburg in Moneyball. how things going, man? Well, what's your biggest fear? That they hit the ball to me? No, seriously. No, I am being serious.
Yeah.
All right, so Soler in left, or I presume that's where do you put your worst Little League player, left or right?
Right field.
So maybe it'll be Rosario on right. We'll stay tuned on that. This hour of Dukes of Bell brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Go see the showroom, guys, just south of Jimmy Carter. They got really cool stuff. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the headlines. Deep dive the trade deadline. Yankees, Phillies, Orioles, all the big players are making plays. Braves. Go in the way back when machine. Get a blast from the past. Also, a lot of guys are asking, what does Luke Jackson have to do with this? We'll explain why he's part of the trade. It's Chris in for Carl. We're live at Hooters, guys, Mall of Georgia. If you just rolled in, talking to you, guy at the bar, we got our ice-cold Dukes of Bell Hey Man Ale, 5% alcohol by volume, and a value at twice the price. So get on it. We'll come back. Headlines next. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're live at the Taj Mahooters, our residency week two at the Mall of Georgia. And look at these independently wealthy gentlemen all hanging out at the bar, some semi-retired, some who just said, screw it. I'm going to Hooters, man. That's where it's at. Like our man Day-Day. I love it, man. Our guy here, he worked up there at Falcons camp today, did some interviews. He had to do some more stuff up in this neck of the woods, told his wife, hey, woman, be still. I'm going to Hooters. You handle those kids. Rattle those pots and pans. I'm putting it down. You picking it up? And then he actually talked to her and said, hey, you mind if I go to Hooters? Because he's got to do some work. You'll hear about it tomorrow on the Steakhouse, guys. Hey, man, we got lots to dive into. A lot of guys already hitting us up on the text line saying, great if Soler works, but they just expected a little bit more at the trade deadline. Don't know what Alex thinks of this team. Now, like, Alex is not going to come on the radio, and we'll get him on by this time, I guess, either Thursday or Friday to talk about what happened. It's not like Alex is going to say, I'm throwing up the white flag. Braves fans will say, look, we're first place in the wild card. You know, despite another tough loss last night to Milwaukee, you still got a chance with good pitching. If the hitting can ever get its head out of its butt, we can actually do something here.
Yeah, it's not the time to throw in the white towel or the white flag, whatever you want to call it.
Either way, I'm throwing in anything that equals surrender, apropos with the Olympics being in France right now.
Exactly. So the bottom line is this. We need another pitcher because Bryce Elder starting tonight. Are you really counting on Spencer Schwellenbach to give you quality innings down the stretch?
Schwellenbach's looking better and better.
He's looking good, but again, Mike, you know, I give you a lot of credit because you've been pounding the table for this for years plural now. The Braves have gone into the last two postseasons short starting pitching.
Right, and we may do it again. You know, hoping for Ian Anderson. I'm not saying that Ian Anderson is becoming like the Soroka thing because Soroka was just dealing with so many more injuries. But when is Ian Anderson going to be here? You know, when is Oscar Hinoa coming back? All those guys. I think that's just table that emotion. Just go with what you got. And are you going to try to pull off a pitcher between now and, what, another hour or two? Let's see. Meanwhile, it's time for, as Carl would say, he's off today. Some headlines!
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Go to ATLLiveWell.com. So there was some good stuff last night when Marcell Ozuna hit this one to frickin' Mars.
until now, an incredible season for number 20 for the Atlanta Braves. Marcell Ozuna, deep to left. Kiss it goodbye. Oh, my. A big, big fly from the Big Bear to put Atlanta out in front of the fourth.
Compliments of our buddies at Bally Sports. More on Bally Sports and getting back with Comcast. There's a wrinkle to it that was reported by Channel 2 this morning. Details to follow.
Yeah, it's a situation where you'll be able to see the Braves.
At a premium.
Maybe, if you're willing to pay. But here's the thing. It was looking so good last night. Arcia, Ozuna, everyone was contributing. And then Jesse Chavez came in, and unfortunately, he's been so consistent all season long, but he got beat last night, plain and simple.
Oren, let's advance for people that are scoring at home. This is track 14. Here's Jesse Chavez on being hot garbage last night.
It wasn't fun. You know, rinsing that off was a tough one to do today. And that's something that I give myself till then, and that's when it's time to turn the page. But watching that outing, watching him do that stuff, and then come in and not do what I'm supposed to do, it eats at me a little bit more.
They love the guy. He's one of the most favorite players in that clubhouse, and he's been so good and amazing, as we said sometimes, defying, you know, where baseball is today, where you got to throw it 100 miles an hour, and he can come out there with agent guile and skill and mix it up locations and keep it around 90 and still have success. We talked about Jorge Soler. Unfortunately, the amazing story that was the night shift and Tyler Matzek, his chapter with the Braves comes to an end. They did have to make some moves to make the money work. We take on Luke Jackson, and Luke Jackson's been terrible this year for San Francisco.
Yeah, he's been okay, Mike. He's been terrible. You're right. I'm not even going to try to justify it.
ERA is 5. His ERA for June was like around 9.
Yeah.
Not good.
It's the type of thing where, you know, you hope maybe it's the same thing as Rosario. You put that Braves uniform on, he can turn back into the guy that helped you. Because he was good down the stretch in 2021.
Right. Let's go back to the great days, the heady days of 2021, end of October into November.
Boom.
When Jorge Soler, who's now back as a Brave, hits one of the greatest home runs in Braves history.
High fly ball to left and goodbye. Soler with a monster blast into left, and the Braves lead 3-0 here in the third.
Yeah, it was Tom Wolfe or maybe Jim Hanifin who said you can never go home again. Can you come back and have some success? Can he do something special his second trip around? As Chris said, he's going to have to play the outfield. Not really what he does, but you can't put him at first. Soler is – and that's not a job that's an available job. Soler is going to play the outfield because Ozuna is the DH and Matt Olson plays first, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, he's just going to have to – try his best out there, and we'll see what happens. Right. But that's not why we're bringing him back. Obviously, it's for the tremendous power that he possesses, as you heard in that call. By the way, kind of made me miss Mr. Buck on the call a little bit.
Yeah, I know they replaced Joe Buck with a guy who sounds like just like Joe Buck with who's it, Kevin?
Burkhart's doing the NFL, and it's I forget his name. He was he's a former Dodgers broadcaster.
Yeah.
Just doesn't have the same gravitas. Oh,
either
Joe
way.
Davis.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, that was a classic call for Joe Buck, and that ball, I mean, again, out of Minute Maid Park into the night was just unbelievable. Hey, well, a few more cuts from the Braves last night. Everybody loves Grant Holmes, the flowing locks. Guy did a hell of a job last night. Just as we said, one to Rhys Hopkins. Here's a GH.
I'm ready to go out there and throw strikes. Go as deep as I could, and I was keep the bullpen out of the game as long as I could.
He did a great job, and here's him on his first career start in the show. He was a starter in the minor leagues, you guys know. It's almost like Crash Davis in Bull Durham. After 10 years, he's finally getting his shot.
Such a special moment. I never thought I would ever be starting for the Atlanta Braves, you know. So, you know, here it is, and I'm just taking it with everything I can and doing everything I can.
Yeah, we mentioned Orlando Arcia with a huge home run, about 421 to deep center off his old teammates. So let's hope that these guys start to rake, because we know the pitching side of this most recent spat, because you've got to grind without having Max Fried available. Not a bad effort last night for Holmes. Can't complain about that. Hey, man, on to some great news for Falcon fans. Found out yesterday that the Falcons have sold out every single ticket for the home season, which is great. Now, again, in any other city in America, that's really not big news. Your NFL team sells out, but we've gone through some hard times, as Dusty Rose would say, and now we've got everybody fired up. Now, of course, wise asses will say, yeah, but how many of those tickets were bought by Cowboys, Steelers, Every other team. The good news is there's a buzz about this team because of Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what that says? That is a buy-in from the fan base, as you said, Mike, that we have not seen in the last six or seven seasons. So I'm happy to hear that, and I really think it's important to reestablish the home field advantage at the Benz because you've been to a bunch of games, yep. Mike. It has not been there the last few years.
Guys, we've all been there. We know the drill. When the Falcons are good, the city comes alive. You know, when Mike Vick had it cooking at Georgia Dome, I remember 98. I remember going to games my first year in Atlanta, and they were like 56. They weren't even selling out. They were like going 14-2 that year because people still weren't buying into the Falcons. They're the same old Falcons, and that was obviously an amazing year, and then they kind of went back to win one, lose one, and then we finally get back-to-back winning seasons. Matt Ryan, all the buzz. You know, Mercedes-Benz has been great. The problem is the personal seat license is what it is. You price the working man out of some of those seats, and they've shown a lot of flexibility to get more guys in, and I think it's great, but I do hope that we will be able to keep the visiting team out. You cannot blame people for putting their tickets on sale if they're spending so much money on that personal seat license. The only way you can recoup it is when a heritage team like Pittsburgh or Dallas comes in. It stinks. That's the way stadiums get built. But to your point, I think we're going to have a better home field advantage. And hey, once you get cooking, once we start winning, everybody comes back.
Yeah, and the other thing too is, Mike, about that ticket strategy, if the Falcons get off to a 6-1 start.
Are you really selling your tickets?
Yeah, that's the thing. Right. Like, you're going to want to go see them play. If Bijan's the all-pro that we all think he's going to be, that's a hot item you want to attend.
Hey, man, they were a hot item. They've kind of cooled of late. Atlanta United. I know the Leagues Cup game the other night, there was nobody there because there's no buzz about the Leagues Cup. No one knows what it is. It's an extra game. And a lot of folks weren't feeling the a la carte on that one with their schedule. So the good news is they do add some pieces. They had money to spend. They pick up a guy named Alexei Maranchuk. He had been playing in Italy in the Serie A, which means like their best league. So he's basically an offensive piece. You know, he's an attacking midfielder, so he's going to go hopefully bring some scoring, man. Get Saba and the other guys involved because we have to replace all the dudes that would actually put the ball in the net who aren't here anymore.
Yeah, I will say this. I looked up some of his stats briefly. He has 60 goals scored in all of his appearances, so he is a guy that can find the back of the net. Will he be Thiago Almada? Will he be GG? Probably not, but we're going to try our darndest. By the way, Mike, this just in breaking news, U.S. women's gymnastics team anchored by Simone Biles.
People might be DVRing this. All right, so if you don't want to know the result, and back to you. Go ahead.
Won the gold.
There you go. No, some folks don't get to watch it in real time because unlike these guys who are all rich, can hang out at Hooters all afternoon, some guys got to wait till it's on tonight on the DVR. But thanks for spoiling that for those who just didn't get my informative timeout.
Here's my philosophy on that. I think if it was men's water polo, you can put an embargo on it. But if it's something like the women's gymnastics, everyone's going to find out anyway.
All right. So the women got the gold, and Simone Biles, obviously, after what was an emotional turmoil time in tumultuous time, I should say, in Japan, obviously gets back on top and is everybody's sweetheart. Hey, one last Olympic note. Nice problems to have when you have one of the best players in the NBA on your bench.
Yeah.
Here's Steve Kerr on actually maybe using that guy from Boston.
Jason will play tomorrow. I'm not going to answer your next question, which is if he plays, who doesn't? But we're going to need him. And part of this job for me is to keep everybody engaged and ready.
Okay. He learned from the best of them in Greg Popovich. He's such a pain in the ass. Steve Kerr gets on my nerves, man. Really gets on my nerves. Anyway, good problems to have, though, when you got only, you know, so a finite amount of guys to use in a 40-minute basketball game because of FIBA rules.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, Mike, and I said this last night on the night show. He didn't need to apologize for anything. He's the coach of the team. He can make the decisions.
Right.
It's all – this is nothing.
Right, no big deal. Come on. It just, as we said, there's only so many guys you can get on the squad. It's a bigger question. I'd love to ask him why Jaylen Brown isn't on the team.
Yeah.
You know,
Derek White is.
Arguably the better player of the two, even though Tatum got the big contract. Hey, one last note for you. Coco Gauff has a tough day at Roland Garros. She argues with the officials, gets ousted in the Paris Olympics in the third round. So one of our flag bearers, along with LeBron, is – heading home.
Yeah, she did not perform up to expectations. She's had a little bit of a rough go in her career of late.
Some people say, the critics say, look, you just had the British Open. You don't need golf in the Olympics. You just had the majors. You got the U.S. Open coming up. You don't need tennis in the Olympics. But the athletes get up for it other than Coco Gauff in this case. We'll come back, guys. We're live at Hooters Mall of Georgia. Earlier today, before Carl took ill, we were talking with DeMarco Helms. This guy came on last year as a seventh rounder. First things first, could he make the team? He really did show out. And now he's battling Richie Grant to be alongside Jesse Bates as starting safety. Our conversation with a former member of the Tide. We also talk about Nick Saban with him. Coming up next on Dukes of Bell, live from Hooters. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. This hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. The showroom, as we said, just south of Jimmy Carter. Dukes and Bell, Carl's got the day off today. We were up at practice. His stomach was all upside down. So he'll be back tomorrow, we hope. Chris Thomas is in today. Day-Day's hanging out from the steakhouse, just trying to, you know, basically keep it cool away from the family. He's got like 18 kids, so he's just trying to enjoy himself, man. You deserve a day off, bro. Father of the year over here, man. You and a Cromartie and like, I'm going to tell you, man, you just never heard of a vasectomy, huh? Okay, good. Good idea. Anyway, but enough about his personal business. Hey, Chris, what?
Hey, I know. Hey,
no, I mean, these are conversations we've had off the air. I'm just putting them on the air, man.
I am just a passive listener to your conversation, Michael. That is all.
Hey, man. Jersey Mike running the show. Oren back at the ranch. Earlier today, guys, we got a chance to hook up with DeMarco Helms. This is a guy that really did kind of impress. Last year, there were a couple of rookies. One was Clark Phillips, and one was DeMarco Helms that really kind of said, hey, this guy looks pretty special. Right now, guy, if you had to ask me, you know, as far as some of the younger faces right now, some of the free agents we've added, we've talked about, you know, Ray, we've talked about some of the speed element we've added at wide receiver. But last year, this guy did come onto his own and eventually got to start. He's battling with Richie Grant for the job at safety. Carl and I caught up with a former Bama safety from Falcons camp earlier today.
We're here with DeMarco Helms, who's competing, obviously, for one of those spots in the secondary, man. First day of pads, how'd it feel?
Oh, I feel good, you know, to just be out there, you know, with pads on, get the chance to bang a little bit. So it was definitely good for day one.
Seventh rounder out of Alabama. You made an impression last year, man. What are you building on from last year's experience?
You know, just to, you know, build on last year, you know, get better in things, you know, both on and off the field. You know, just to approach the game, you know, with a little bit more experience. Not letting anything, you know, be brand new to me like it kind of was last year. So, you know, just coming into the second year, second camp, you know, with more confidence.
I don't want to say overwhelming, that's the wrong word, but there is an adjustment, right, coming from college, no matter where you played, into the NFL. Talk about that.
You know, there was an adjustment, but I wouldn't say it was overwhelming, just because, you know, I feel like Alabama prepared me a lot, you know, for what to expect at the next level as far as, you know, defenses, competition, and overall, you know, just the mental aspect. You know, coming into my rookie year, it wasn't overwhelming, but it was definitely, you know, a new experience for me.
It is Falcon safety DeMarco Helms with his guys here live on Dukes and Bell. How has Jesse Bates helped you? Did he help you last year? How's some of the older guys helping you out?
Oh, yeah, Jesse is definitely, he helped me a lot last year. And he's helped me this year as well, of course. He's just a great teammate, a great leader on the defense and on the whole team. A lot of guys can lean on him, you know, for, you know, advice, you know, how to get better at the safety position. And I just take things after him as far as, you know, what he does. I try my best, you know, when I see him do something nice, you know, like he, you know, had some good plays today. I go ask, you know, what did you see on that? You know, what was your, you know, how did you process that? Just to, you know, get to the level that he is, it's great to, you know, have someone like him on our defense. So, you know, I feel like I'd be wrong, you know, to not learn from him.
So the difference in this defense with Jimmy Lake versus what you ran last year, is it completely different? Is it similar? Well, what are the nuances to it? Because we talked to A.J. Terrell, and he was like, he feels like he's going to be able to, you know, make some more plays in this scheme.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely some things that he kept the same, just because, you know, we have a lot of guys that we had on the same team last year. But he's definitely brought in his own things, you know, that we like. He's definitely given us a chance, you know, make more plays on the ball and, you know, just allowing us to play fast. So, you know, we definitely like the things that Coach Lake is doing for us.
What's it like seeing Penix and Kirk Cousins out there zipping that? The ball looks like it's really flying out there.
Yeah, it's great to have them out there. You know, they're two great quarterbacks. They give us great looks. Hopefully we give them great looks as well. So it's good to, you know, get that competition going out there. So that way when we go to the game day, we'll be playing against quarterbacks that we'll have a better look for, just because we're getting some great looks from good quarterbacks on our own team.
DeMarco Helms joining us. We're on the verge of starting, obviously, college football. You played at Alabama under Nick Saban. Let's talk a little bit about that, because there's been some changes, but talk about your experience there, man, and you know, you going there, you guys won a lot, obviously, and now with the changing, you know, the change of coach, a lot of people still expect Alabama to be in the mix. Talk about your experience.
My experience at Alabama, I loved it. It was ups and downs, of course. Won a lot of games, you know, lost some big ones, unfortunately, but it was great for me. Going into high school, I know there's a lot of NIL and things like that, but Coach Saban didn't offer me anything but a scholarship. but it was great. I met some, you know, lifelong friends there. And definitely the new coach, Coach DeBoer, I definitely hear a lot of great things from him as far as, you know, the players that I still know on the team there. They have a lot of guys there that I play with, and I know that they're great players, good people. So I'm definitely confident, you know, in what they can do this year. I'm confident in the guys that they have in the locker room. So, you know, I'm still rooting for Alabama no matter who the coach.
And just follow up, were you surprised that he stepped away? It's hard to imagine Nick Saban not coaching at Alabama.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard to see him step away. I know some people probably imagine that he had kicked the bucket in the office. But, you know, it's, you know, with the NIL and things like that, you know, I know it's probably hard for him to, you know, for a lot of kids to, you know, look at Alabama and look at Coach Saban, you know, as a money grab instead of, you know, what a lot of older guys looked at it as, you know, as far as, all right, I'm not worried about, you know, NIL or money. I'm worried about, you know, what coach, you know, what program is going to give me the best, you know, chance to make it to the NFL. So, you know, that was my mindset why I chose Alabama. You know, that's the reason I stayed at Alabama when NIL came around. You know, I really looked at the bigger picture. So, I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, it was time for him to, well, not time for him, but, you know, I kind of felt like, you know, it was inevitable for him to step away eventually once it started to be like, you know, a money game.
Right.
DeMarco Helms made plenty of plays at Alabama, looking to make some plays for our Falcons. Real quick, talk about your one-on-one today with Kyle Pitts and, you know, that development going up against Pitts or Drake or any of these guys out here.
Yeah. Kyle was definitely a great matchup for me today. You know, he got me a bit. But it's definitely, you know, first day of pads. You know, Kyle's a great tight end, great receiver as well. You know, he's a guy that can do it all. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure, you know, I gave myself, you know, a great look as far as, you know, not always going up against, you know, some of the bigger body tight ends. You know, I definitely has practiced. You know, it's day one. So, you know, I wanted to challenge myself. And, you know, I definitely appreciate Kyle for the good work.
And DeMarco, it's like a new house around here, all this stuff. We lose the fans, so you get some juice. Are you excited about Friday being out there in Mercedes-Benz?
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to be in Mercedes-Benz, you know, get that fan experience, get that crowd going a little bit. So, you know, we've definitely been missing them out here, you know, hyping up big plays. But I'm sure on Friday they'll be loud.
DeMarco, appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
Good dude, man. And again, played for, you know, Nick Saban, who takes pride in, you know, coaching up secondary himself. And as he said, a lot of his former players feel he was able to pivot and kind of, let's be honest, adapt to the changing landscape of college football, starting with the way he would always kind of throw a passive-aggressive comment about, oh, I don't like these up-tempo offenses. I don't know about this, player safety. And then, of course, he then out-Auburns Auburn at that kind of an offense. And then it goes on to win even more championships and was able to pivot, you know, with the name, image, likeness. Of course, he had to say, oh, that Texas A&M class bought and paid for. Jeez. And then, of course, he's able. But this was different, though, with the transfer portal. Name, image, and likeness is just something where, and you heard what he said. This is a kid who said, I went to Alabama because I knew it would give me the best chance to get to the NFL. I'd get the best coaching. I'd have the best odds to get there. As opposed to some guys who are just looking for, yeah, I get it. I'm going to get the NFL anyway. I'm going to make about $1 million while I can. I do see both sides of it. But sometimes you wonder, are you getting the best character guys or the guys who's got the dedication to craft?
And now that mantle belongs in Athens. Because the NFL program, Mike, runs through Georgia. Georgia is now taken over from Nick Saban as the mantle of the team that gets all the guys into the NFL. If you want to play in the NFL, you go to Georgia.
Been a weird week for Georgia. The situation with Ra-Ra Thomas, you know, with the charges. And then later on you find out from the article in the Athens Banner-Herald that he was doing, you know, the speeding thing, you know, right down the road from where the tragedy happened. So it's a lot of bad optics. And then today I heard Andy and Randy talking about it. And it's something called the College Football Report. You do have to understand, I don't want to make it sound like we're being Georgia homers and saying it's fake news, but they did say Georgia's graduation rate was the lowest of the Power Four conferences. But you got to go back and look at the numbers specifically. It was Mark Richt's last 3 years and Kirby's first year. So there would be some guys leaving the program. There would be some guys transferring out. There would be some, let's be honest, some shrinkage, if you will, from the graduating class. Uh-huh. We just explained it. Somebody who sits there and goes, SEC football factory, no better than Barry Switzer in Oklahoma back in the day, and they don't even graduate players. That's what people will say. But I think you do have to understand the sample size was 13 to 16.
Yeah.
Either way, it doesn't look good for University of Georgia, but still you got to understand it's not strictly about what Kirby's doing right now with his guys.
No, and I think a discerning football fan would be able to understand that, Mike. And I put that on – the onus there is on UGA fans to understand that their school is doing things the right way for the most part and making sure that, you know, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
It's just the thing is when you're saying you're collective, the coach doesn't dole out discipline – the people basically say you get less in your envelope this week in NIL because you're driving like an idiot in Athens-Clarke County. that doesn't wash with a lot of football fans, if I'm honest. You know, like, I went to FSU. Folks used to snicker that Bobby Bowden would have different sets of rules for star players. And coach would say, look, I told the parents I'm here to protect them, and I'm going to go look out for their best interests. And he did. And there were times, and certainly the rest of college football, would go, oh, really? But some of this stuff just keeps adding and adding and adding up with Kirby. And you say, you know, I mean, look, we want to win national championships, but you don't want to look like the classic football. You know, you don't look like James Caan in the program. You know what I mean? That's what times it does seem to look like.
Here's my question, I guess it would be, Mike, is nationally, is he getting the heat that you just mentioned? I don't think so.
No, I don't think that. Feinbaum's not going to bite the hand that feeds. You think Feinbaum's going to go in on that?
No.
I mean, there's really nobody out there. I mean, other than a bunch of writers for the USA Today that nobody Georgia who's a fan would pay attention to anyway.
Exactly.
But it is still the perception. I think there's some Georgia fans out there that feel, you know, enough's enough already.
But at the same time, what are you going to do about it?
Yes. This is the price for if you're like, if you're going to be that national championship caliber team year in, year out, you're going to break some eggs to make the omelet. You're going to bring in some dudes to make bad decisions because they're really good at football and they're really not good at thinking. And that's time and memorial for every football program in the country, unless you're going to one of the service academies.
And also the fact that Kirby Smart himself has a pristine record. See, he's not Bobby Petrino. He's not some of these other guys that have royally screwed up, like a Rick Pitino in the past. Like, Kirby, as the actual man and the leader of the program, he's got a clean rap sheet.
I would agree with you to a point, but I just think just cut Ra-Ra Thomas and cut the crap.
Yeah.
Just don't equivocate. Don't make, like, a lawyer's dodge type argument about letting the judicial process play out. And I get it. We believe, like we should, and everybody else should believe, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. But if a kid's a screw-up, a kid's a screw-up. You know, and if he has no common sense and he's speeding the day after one of his teammates just got popped near the scene of one of the biggest tragedies in Georgia football history, maybe this guy doesn't – you forfeited your right to be a college football player at Georgia, you know, and that's it. And now you can go to Last Chance U or wherever you want, whenever one goes at this point to try to get it back on track. Maybe Ra-Ra Thomas is just an idiot. And, I mean, I'm sorry, I know it's not politically correct. Just say what it is. He's an idiot. You know, and you don't get to play football for Georgia and be done with it and stop trying to go, well, this and that. No, he's an idiot. He's done. That's my 2 cents worth on Kirby with a Ra-Ra Thomas.
Yeah, he and the university are equivocating by doing what they did, which is a quote-unquote indefinite suspension.
Meanwhile, by the way, we talked about this yesterday, a couple of the big-time recruits flipping a kid from Southern California, also picking up a big – have you seen the size of the dude they recruited from Germany? He was only played football for a couple of years, but he literally looks like something from the X-Men. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. This hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. The showroom, as we said, just south of Jimmy Carter. Dukes and Bell, Carl's got the day off today. We were up at practice. His stomach was all upside down. So he'll be back tomorrow, we hope. Chris Thomas is in today. Day-Day's hanging out from the steakhouse, just trying to, you know, basically keep it cool away from the family. He's got like 18 kids, so he's just trying to enjoy himself, man. You deserve a day off, bro. Father of the year over here, man. You and a Cromartie and, like, I'm going to tell you, man, you just never heard of a vasectomy, huh? Okay, good. Good idea. Anyway, but enough about his personal business. Hey, Chris, what?
Hey, no, hey.
No, I mean, these are conversations we've had off the air. Just putting them on the air, man.
I am just a passive listener to your conversation, Mike. That is all.
Hey, man. Jersey Mike running the show. Oren back at the ranch. Earlier today, guys, we got a chance to hook up with DeMarco Helms. This is a guy that really did kind of impress. Last year, there were a couple of rookies. One was Clark Phillips, and one was DeMarco Helms that really kind of said, hey, this guy looks pretty special. Right now, guy, if you had to ask me, you know, as far as some of the younger faces right now, some of the free agents we've added, we've talked about, you know, Ray, we've talked about some of the speed element we've added at wide receiver. But last year, this guy did come onto his own and eventually got to start. He's battling with Richie Grant for the job at safety. Carl and I caught up with a former Bama safety from Falcons camp earlier today.
We're here with DeMarco Helms, who's competing, obviously, for one of those spots in the secondary, man. First day of pads, how'd it feel?
Oh, it felt good, you know, to just be out there, you know, with pads on, get the chance to bang a little bit. So it was definitely good for day one.
Seventh rounder out of Alabama. You made an impression last year, man. What are you building on from last year's experience?
You know, just to, you know, build on last year, you know, get better in things, you know, both on and off the field. You know, just to approach the game, you know, with a little bit more experience. Not letting anything, you know, be brand new to me like it kind of was last year. So, you know, just coming into the second year, second camp, you know, with more confidence.
I don't want to say overwhelming, that's the wrong word, but there is an adjustment, right, coming from college, no matter where you played, into the NFL. Talk about that.
You know, there was an adjustment, but I wouldn't say it was overwhelming, just because, you know, I feel like Alabama prepared me a lot, you know, for what to expect at the next level as far as, you know, defenses, competition, and overall, you know, just the mental aspect. You know, coming into my rookie year, it wasn't overwhelming, but it was definitely, you know, a new experience for me.
It is Falcon safety DeMarco Helms with us, guys, here live on Dukes and Bell. How has Jesse Bates helped you? Did he help you last year? How's some of the older guys helping you out?
Oh, yeah, Jesse is definitely, he helped me a lot last year, and he's helped me this year as well, of course. He's just a great teammate, a great leader on the defense and on the whole team. A lot of guys can lean on him, you know, for, you know, advice, you know, how to get better at the player at the safety position. And I just take things after him as far as, you know, what he does. I try my best, you know, when I see him do something nice, you know, like he, you know, has some good plays today. I go ask, you know, what did you see on that? You know, what was your, you know, how did you process that? Just to, you know, get to the level that he is, it's great to, you know, have someone like him on our defense. So, you know, I feel like I'd be wrong, you know, to not learn from him.
So the difference in this defense with Jimmy Lake versus what you ran last year, is it completely different? Is it similar? What are the nuances to it? Because we talked to A.J. Terrell, and he was like, he feels like he's going to be able to, you know, make some more plays in this scheme.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely some things that he kept the same, just because, you know, we have a lot of guys that we had on the same team last year. But he's definitely brought in his own things, you know, that we like. He's definitely given us a chance, you know, make more plays on the ball. And, you know, just allowing us to play fast. So, you know, we definitely like the things that Coach Lake is doing for us.
What's it like seeing Penix and Kirk Cousins out there zipping that? The ball looks like it's really flying out there.
Yeah, it's great to have them out there. You know, they're two great quarterbacks. They give us great looks. Hopefully we give them great looks as well. So it's good to, you know, get that competition going out there. So that way when we go to the game day, we'll be playing against quarterbacks that we'll have a better look for, just because we're getting some great looks from good quarterbacks on our own team.
DeMarco Helms joining us. We're on the verge of starting, obviously, college football. You played at Alabama under Nick Saban. Let's talk a little bit about that, because there's been some changes, but talk about your experience there, man, and you know, you going there, you guys won a lot, obviously, and now with the changing, you know, the change of coach, a lot of people still expect Alabama to be in the mix. Talk about your experience.
My experience at Alabama, I loved it. It was ups and downs, of course. Won a lot of games, you know, lost some big ones, unfortunately, but it was great for me. Going into high school, I know there's a lot of NIL and things like that, but Coach Saban didn't offer me anything but a scholarship. But it was great. I met some, you know, lifelong friends there. And definitely the new coach, Coach DeBoer, I definitely hear a lot of great things from him as far as, you know, the players that I still know on the team there. They have a lot of guys there that I play with, and I know that they're great players, good people. So I'm definitely confident, you know, in what they can do this year. I'm confident in the guys that they have in the locker room. So, you know, I'm still rooting for Alabama no matter who the coach.
And just follow up, were you surprised that he stepped away? It's hard to imagine Nick Saban not coaching at Alabama.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard to see him step away. I know some people probably imagine that he had kicked the bucket in the office. But, you know, it's, you know, with the NIL and things like that, you know, I know it's probably hard for him to, you know, for a lot of kids to, you know, look at Alabama and look at Coach Saban, you know, as a money grab instead of, you know, what a lot of older guys looked at it as, you know, as far as, all right, I'm not worried about, you know, NIL or money. I'm worried about, you know, what coach, you know, what program is going to give me the best, you know, chance to make it to the NFL. So, you know, that was my mindset why I chose Alabama. You know, that's the reason I stayed at Alabama when NIL came around. You know, I really looked at the bigger picture. So, I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, it was time for him to, well, not time for him, but, you know, I kind of felt like, you know, it was inevitable for him to step away eventually once it started to be like, you know, a money game.
Right.
DeMarco Helms made plenty of plays at Alabama, looking to make some plays for our Falcons. Real quick, talk about your one-on-one today with Kyle Pitts. And, you know, that development going up against Pitts or Drake or any of these guys out here.
Yeah. Kyle was definitely a great matchup for me today. You know, he got me a bit. But it's definitely, you know, first day of pads. You know, Kyle's a great tight end, great receiver as well. You know, he's a guy that can do it all. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure, you know, I gave myself, you know, a great look as far as, you know, not always going up against, you know, some of the bigger body tight ends. You know, I definitely has practiced, you know, it's day one. So, you know, I wanted to challenge myself. And, you know, I definitely appreciate Kyle for the good work.
And DeMarco, it's like a new house around here, all this stuff. You lose the fans, so you get some juice. Are you excited about Friday being out there at Mercedes-Benz?
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to be in Mercedes-Benz, you know, get that fan experience, get that crowd going a little bit. So, you know, we've definitely been missing them out here, you know, hyping up big plays. But I'm sure on Friday they'll be loud.
DeMarco. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
Good dude, man. And again, played for Nick Saban, who takes pride in coaching up secondary himself. And as he said, a lot of his former players feel he was able to pivot and kind of, let's be honest, adapt to the changing landscape of college football, starting with the way he would always kind of throw a passive-aggressive comment about, oh, I don't like these up-tempo offenses. I don't know about this, player safety. And then, of course, he then out-Auburns Auburn at that kind of an offense. And then it goes on to win more, even more championships, and was able to pivot, you know, with the name, image, likeness. Of course, he had to say, oh, that Texas A&M class bought and paid for. Jeez. And then, of course, he's able. But this was different, though, with the transfer portal. Name, image, and likeness is just something where – and you heard what he said. This is a kid who said, I went to Alabama because I knew it would give me the best chance to get to the NFL. I'd get the best coaching. I'd have the best odds to get there. As opposed to some guys who are just looking for, yeah, I get it. I'm going to get the NFL anyway. I'm going to make about $1 million while I can. I do see both sides of it. But sometimes you wonder, are you getting the best character guys or the guys who's got the dedication to craft?
And now that mantle belongs in Athens. Because the NFL program, Mike, runs through Georgia. Georgia is now taking over from Nick Saban as the mantle of the team that gets all the guys into the NFL. If you want to play in the NFL, you go to Georgia.
Been a weird week for Georgia. The situation with Ra-Ra Thomas, you know, with the charges. And then later on you find out from the article in the Athens Banner-Herald that he was doing, you know, the speeding thing, you know, right down the road from where the tragedy happened. So it's a lot of bad optics. And then today I heard Andy and Randy talking about it. And it's something called the College Football Report. You do have to understand, I don't want to make it sound like we're being Georgia homers and saying it's fake news, but they did say Georgia's graduation rate was the lowest of the Power Four conferences. But you got to go back and look at the numbers specifically. It was Mark Richt's last 3 years and Kirby's first year. So there would be some guys leaving the program. There would be some guys transferring out. There would be some, let's be honest, some shrinkage, if you will, from the graduating class. Uh-huh. But if you just, but again, if you, we know, we just explained it. Somebody who sits there and goes, SEC football factory, no better than Barry Switzer at Oklahoma back in the day, and they don't even graduate players. That's what people will say. But I think you do have to understand the sample size was 13 to 16.
Yeah. And
that, either way, doesn't look good for University of Georgia, but still you got to understand it's not strictly about what Kirby's doing right now with his guys.
No, and I think a discerning football fan would be able to understand that, Mike. And I put that on the onus there is on UGA fans to understand that their school is doing things the right way for the most part and making sure that, you know, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
It's just the thing is when you're saying you're collective, the coach doesn't dole out discipline. The people basically say you get less in your envelope this week at NIL because you're driving like an idiot in Athens-Clark County. That doesn't wash with a lot of football fans, if I'm honest. You know, like I went to FSU. Folks used to snicker that Bobby Bowden would have different sets of rules for star players. And coach would say, look, I told the parents I'm here to protect them. And I'm going to go look out for their best interests. And he did. And there were times that certainly the rest of college football would go, oh, really? But some of this stuff just keeps adding and adding and adding up with Kirby. And you say, you know, I mean, look, we want to win national championships, but you don't want to look like the classic football. You don't look like James Caan in the program. You know what I mean? That's what times it does seem to look like.
Here's my question, I guess it would be, Mike, is nationally, is he getting the heat that you just mentioned? I don't think so.
No, I don't think that Feinbaum's not going to bite the hand that feeds. You think Feinbaum's going to go in on that?
No.
I mean, there's really nobody out there, I mean, other than a bunch of writers for the USA Today that nobody Georgia who's a fan would pay attention to anyway.
Exactly.
But it is still the perception. I think there's some Georgia fans out there that feel, you know, enough's enough already.
But at the same time, what are you going to do about it?
Yes. This is the price for when, if you're going to be that national championship caliber team year in, year out, you're going to break some eggs to make the omelet. You're going to bring in some dudes to make bad decisions because they're really good at football and they're really not good at thinking. And that's time and memorial for every football program in the country, unless you're going to one of the service academies.
And also the fact that Kirby Smart himself has a pristine record. See, he's not Bobby Petrino. He's not some of these other guys that have royally screwed up, like a Rick Pitino in the past. Like, Kirby, as the actual man and the leader of the program, he's got a clean rap sheet.
I would agree with you to a point, but I just think just cut Ra-Ra Thomas and cut the crap.
Yeah.
Just don't equivocate. Don't make like a lawyer's dodge type argument about letting the judicial process play out. And I get it. We believe like we should, and everybody else should believe everybody's innocent until proven guilty. But if a kid's a screw-up, a kid's a screw-up. You know, and if he has no common sense and he's speeding the day after one of his teammates just got popped near the scene of one of the biggest tragedies in Georgia football history, maybe this guy doesn't. You're forfeited your right to be a college football player at Georgia, you know, and that's it. And now you can go to Last Chance U or wherever you want, whenever one goes at this point to try to get it back on track. Maybe Ra-Ra Thomas is just an idiot. And I mean, I'm sorry. I know it's not politically correct. Just say what it is. He's an idiot. You know, and you don't get to play football for Georgia and be done with it and stop trying to go, well, this and that. No, he's an idiot. He's done. That's my 2 cents worth on Kirby with the Ra-Ra Thomas.
Yeah, he and the university are equivocating by doing what they did, which is a quote-unquote indefinite suspension.
Meanwhile, by the way, we talked about this yesterday, a couple of the big-time recruits flipping a kid from Southern California, also picking up a big – have you seen the size of the dude they recruited from Germany? He was only played football for a couple of years, but he literally looks like something from the X-Men, this kid Lanny. Yeah, they're talking about a guy who literally could be the biggest lineman ever dressed out at Georgia on offensive line.
Wow. I know I did. I missed that one. But I know that the Georgia offensive line, I believe it's for next season, Mike, is averaging like 6'7", 335.
Right. And they did steal somebody from Georgia Tech, too, by the way. You see that move?
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that in the Dog Report coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. But they steal Andrew Thacker back to Athens. I wonder how Tech fans feel about that. We'll dive into it. But next, guys, live here from Mall of Georgia Hooters, you're not going to believe what an NFL player said about us Falcon fans. Well, if you went to the games last year, you could probably believe it. See what Amon-Ra St. Brown had to say about Mercedes-Benz and our home crowd, or lack thereof, next. We'll get into the NFL Blitz.